You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN.
What's to follow? Who knows? A little bit of wind. A lot of wind, maybe. A little bit of snow. Maybe not a lot here. But we'll see. We'll keep you up to date here on KGYM. Mark Dukes, that is me, and Isaac Alzinga joining me in studio, running the board, just running this show, Isaac.
Yeah, hopefully a little bit. No hiccups today.
It is programming changes and role reversal day here on the Gym Class. You hear me sometimes from my back porch, my famous back porch, via Skype, because of other responsibilities I have. But here in studio today, Isaac, usually on the other side of the glass, now in studio, in Scott Unash's seat. Scott Unash in Des Moines, or somewhere thereabouts. He's not on a back porch, I can guarantee you that, but Scott is with us. Are you not, Scott?
I'm hoping. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that I am. Yes. Am I coming through A-OK?
Yes, you are. Welcome to Skype, my friend.
Technology is wonderful, isn't it? You guys want to know where I'm at? This is just wonderful product placement, by the way.
Back
Can
porch
I go ahead
or what?
And tell you?
Yes, please.
I am at the Quickstar parking lot in Tama, Iowa.
Beautiful. Of course, one
you
of
see
our,
what I did there?
One of our sponsors, of course. One of our great sponsors. That's awesome, Scott. Listen, Scott in Des Moines, obviously for the girls' state basketball tournament there yesterday and today. Scott, let's talk a little bit about the state tournament. And really, you've seen a lot of games, lots and lots of games, boys, girls, state tournaments and whatnot. Maybe one of the all-timers today for Xavier, an eighth seed, defeating. I don't think it's an upset over number one Sioux City Helan. At all-time performance, maybe Libby Fandel, huh?
Yeah, Libby Fandel. In fact, you are the third person to ask me that very same question.
Really?
Steve Dozier asked me that when we were doing the game. And then I had one of my fellow radio people at Des Moines also ask and say, where does that land? And was it 37 points, new single-game record, 25 rebounds for the Kansas signee, and probably Libby would be the first to tell you I should have shot it better. And you know, that's, as Jeff Linder and I said afterwards, that's nitpicking. You know when you have 37 and 25 and four assists and your team wins over the number one seeded team, then yeah, that's nitpicking. It wasn't an upset. Everybody knew going in that number eight could beat number one in this one. All eight teams in 4A were just outstanding. There's another nail biter. I looked at the score right before I got on with you guys, but just this has to be top five of all time, boys or girls. I remember the Marcus Page game in the sub-state final in 2012 when he had 41 or something like that, and put Linmar on his shoulders and beat Kennedy in the sub-state final. But this was Kia Stokes had some biggies too, but boy, this was an all-timer today.
Yeah, if you want to nitpick, she did miss 18 shots. She took a few, but put that aside for a minute. But Fandel, the number two scorer in Metro history, and sometimes, as you've seen, Scott, these big-time players like Fandel don't always perform their best on the biggest stage, but this one, she performed well in spades.
Yeah, she did, and good place to do it because, A, it helps your team. B, you know, it helps you individually because, I mean, she's right down there with about two or three other individuals for Miss Iowa basketball, and, you know, what, 37 and 25 is not going to hurt her cause any.
What's ahead for Xavier to win a state championship?
Well, the first thing is, and you know Tom Lilly for mm-hmm. many, many years. It's his 40th and final year. you gotta keep them in the moment, because this was not the state championship game. This was just the first game, and Norwalk or Central DeWitt is the next game in the semifinal. All eight teams are really, really good. In fact, talking with Jason Esslinger from the girls union, he said that, you know what, we could play this thing eight times and we could have each of these eight teams come up and win the state championship. And I believe that. Stay in the moment and just keep doing what they're doing. And that is, yeah, Libby scoring, but they're getting contributions from everybody else as well. Samantha Doherty, the freshman, had nine today. She was terrific. Reese Kamenda with a couple of big shots, and Madden Wilson kept it away from a good Sioux City Heeland defense against, you know, the 1-3-1, their famous 1-3-1 half court. And it was just Xavier continues to roll. They just continue to play better and better each time out.
Earlier today, and I think you were on the road at the time, but Williamsburg with a 52-49 win over Des Moines Christian, and I believe this is Williamsburg's first advancement to the semifinals.
Yeah, good job by the former Stephanie Rich, Stephanie Dacey, and former, speaking of Miss Iowa basketballs, of course, won that at Washington, Iowa with the Demons. And I was there watching it. Good ball game. They've most all except for the Mount Vernon game, they've been good at the state tournament. And good job by Williamsburg and good job by the WOMAC. To show just how good they are.
What about this Mount Vernon team, Scott? Yesterday, a walkover over West Marshall. I don't know anything about West Marshall, but tremendously lopsided. It was over very, very early, and Mount Vernon just keeps rolling.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good. Another discussion we had down at the state tournament was, could this Mount Vernon team win some games in 4A and 5A? And I don't think there's any doubt they could. I don't know if they'd win championships, but they could definitely stay in the ball game with these other ones. When you got Chloe Meester inside, going to Louisville to play volleyball, that's good. Sydney Huber, Stacy Freeze's daughter, going to Evansville to play basketball. You got the Frank twins that are just really terrific ball hawking players. And then you got a terrific young freshman point guard, that Savvy Wright, that people are going to know that name in the next 3 years. And Nate Sanderson's got a real good team down there. And they're the favorites. They're the prohibitive favorites. And can they come through? We will see. They have a rematch with Estherville Lincoln Central coming up in the semifinals, the team that put them out last year in the semifinals.
Last thing on the girls, for me anyway, Scott, and that is, in the big class, all CIML semifinal, not unprecedented. Johnston wins its 50th straight game. Prairie with a really good team. But what is it about the CIML?
Well, we were talking about that as well. They're really good. They've got great resources. And that just, you add those things together and it's really tough to beat. They've got good players. I think the rest of the state has good players, especially in the eastern part of the state, because that's the where the other four were at the state tournament, two from the Valley and two from the MAC. And right now, problem is they've got more of them. They've got five or six, while right now two or three reside in the teams of our side of the state in 5A. So the gap got a little bit closer this year. I think the Eastern teams played with the CIML teams a little bit more, but when it push comes to shove, it's still their world.
He is Scott Unaz from a parking lot at a Quick Star in Tama, Iowa, en route from Des Moines back to Cedar Rapids. Scott doing double duty today, not unprecedented. Going to do a boys' game that will determine a sub-state or a state tournament berth tonight. And Scott, last night, Xavier coming back from a 17-point deficit against number two Decorah. Decorah had some foul problems, that's for sure. But couple Xavier with three Metro teams vying for state tournament berth tonight could have a lot of representation next week, meaning I'm going to spend some more time in this chair.
You might. Three more spots. But Prairie, Kennedy, and Linmar have chances to go tonight. And Xavier, what a comeback last night. And Caleb Wilgenbusch was just terrific and outstanding. Talking with some folks that were there last night. Great performance, great comeback. And, yeah, LaFrance got in foul trouble, the 6'11", Rafe LaFrance's son, obviously, for Decorah. He's an assistant coach up there. And Zach Driscoll, one of the terrific guard for the Vikings, and they made it to the state semifinals last year. Came up short this year, and all the credit in the world to Xavier. And I think we're, you know, Mark, you followed boys basketball in this town, and as long as I have, and this is one of the red letter years. If Cedar Rapids Marion could get four teams down there, that would be stupendous.
And that's good stuff, no doubt about it. Let's transition, Scott, and within the last hour or so, Fran McCaffrey held a news conference, and at which he was asked about his future. And Fran McCaffrey said this: "I'm fully committed to the program and the players. I have no intention of moving on." What do you make of that?
Well, now we know. That's the first thing I make of it. And I guess it surprises me, but it doesn't surprise me. I've heard it from a couple of pretty good sources that that was his thinking, and that was what he was going to stick with. He's got a terrific recruiting class coming in, maybe his best recruiting class. There were people, I thought as well, that it possibly could be the last year because his youngest son, Jack, going to Butler. Connor's over there. Obviously, the ties with that part of the country, with Margaret playing at Notre Dame, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought if there was an opportunity for Fran to step aside, that this might be it. Now you got a really interesting situation, Mark. What's going to happen if Iowa misses the Big Ten tournament? What's going to happen if they make the Big Ten tournament, but as the last seed, they bow out early? What's this going to do to two-thirds empty Carver Hawkeye Arena? Is this going to impact ticket sales for next year? You can't really have it go any more south than it is right now, I guess. But it's surprising, but it's not surprising to me. I don't know what you think.
Well, I want Isaac to weigh in here. Isaac and I discussed a little bit before going on the air, and there's a lot of aspects to it. And you and I and so many other people in this business have been asked about Fran's future. We know the sentiment of some of the fan base, and I simply don't know. I don't actively cover the team. I think I'm, have some connections, but not like the beat reporters and whatnot. I always thought it would come down to whether Fran wanted to continue coaching. And I didn't know, just because of a losing season, I wasn't sure that that would, you know, tip him to want to retire or move on. There are other factors, and I think Isaac can elaborate on that, but it doesn't discount the apathy, I guess I would say, towards this program. And what Beth Getz does about that, it's going to be interesting to see, Isaac.
Yeah, I always viewed it as more of a Beth Getz decision than I did a Fran decision. I guess I got the feeling that Fran did not or does not want to leave. Obviously, that's been confirmed now by him. But I think Beth Getz is a different conversation whether or not she wants to make a change, and it's ultimately her decision what happens with the head coach there. So even though Fran may want to return, ultimately it's her decision to make, and I think she sees a potential revenue stream not making money. And when we're talking about revenue sharing coming up, that's a really big part of the decision making process, I think, for her, or at least it should be. When you talk about, you're going to need every dime you can get, so we'll see if she may say thank you, Fran, for being willing to come back, but no thank you, and when the month is done or later on in the summer.
I mean, to me, this decision makes the Brian Ferentz decision look like a Sunday school picnic. Mm. This is the one that's going to be a much, much bigger situation. I mean, Brian had the ultimatum from Gary Barta. We know that. We don't need to revisit that. And she made the decision, okay, this is just the way it's going to be. We need to leave this situation. We acknowledge what you've done to the University of Iowa, you and your family. And, you know, it's just time for a change. Does she do that again? You know, this now to me, guys, is more of a Beth Getz, decision and a Beth Getz statement early on in her tenure as the Iowa athletic director and how people are going to react to it.
319-366-1600 if you'd like to weigh in, preferably the text line today as Isaac is with me here in the studio. And it brought back memories, Scott, when Beth Getz was first hired, first as interim and then as the full-time athletic director. And we looked at the coaching staff, the big four, so to speak. You had Kirk Ferentz. Perhaps in her tenure, she would have to face the fact that he was going to retire. May still have to do that. Fran McCaffrey, we've talked about his situation. Tom Brands. All indications are Tom Brands is, you know, going to be at the helm for a while, but you'd never know. Lisa Bluter did retire and kind of seamlessly replaced her with Jan Jensen. I mean, my point is that Beth Getz entered this job with four pretty darn stable, longtime head coaches. And at some point, and she's already had to replace one, now which of the next three, which of the other three is next, I guess?
Good question. Well, this is the big one right now. Tom Brands is safe. He's fine. I know people were, you know, doing the hand-wringing, et cetera, but, you know, Oklahoma State, that win cures a lot of evils. And, you know, we talked to Mark Ironside, and we will on Thursday. He's going to flip-flop this week, by the way, with Kevin Lehman, so put that down in your calendars. You know, there's a gap between Penn State and everybody else that's just, you know, gigantic. It's Grand Canyon-esque right now. So what's it going to do to replace Tom Brands in this situation? Kirk Ferentz isn't going to stay forever. That's something that's going to come down the line. We know that. So far, you know, it was easy. The succession from Lisa to Jan. This is the big one. This is the big one right now because you've got apathy. We can say it, Mark. It's apathy in this men's basketball program right now. People really don't want to watch. They aren't coming to the games. It's a different situation than it used to be. It's, you know, the women's team is doing just great things. They sell out 15,000. It's not Thursday, Saturdays anymore. It's Fridays at 8 o'clock and Mondays at 5:30. It's a different time that we're living in. And for Beth Getz, this is the decision right now. And this is going to be the biggest decision she's ever had to make, I think, as an administrator. She's been the head only at Iowa, but she's had input on other coaching changes at her other stops, though.
9663 on the text line with a great point. It's all about money, and the stands are not full. I think you need to make a change.
Yeah, it's not like a coaching change necessarily brings everybody back or anything like that or completely fills the stands, but I don't think bringing Fran back, I mean, that certainly doesn't fill the stands. At least you can take a chance with a coaching change and say maybe this drums up some more excitement. But I'm with you guys right now, at least. I think I go back and forth on whether or not Fran's going to stay or whether he's going to be gone. I do think if Iowa winds up missing the Big Ten tournament, that makes the decision a little bit easier just because that would be the lowest point, I think, for Iowa basketball over the last however many years you want to say.
If I'm Beth Getz, I would want to know from Fran McCaffrey What do you anticipate next year? Okay, Fran, this is an off year. Owen Freeman got hurt. You didn't have Tony Perkins. You didn't have Aaron Ulis. You didn't have Patrick McCaffrey. Whatever you think of their contributions might have been, they weren't there either. You've had some injuries along the way. What's next year's team going to look like? Is Owen Freeman going to come back? Is Josh Dix going to come back? How do you see this team improving? Are you going to go to the transfer portal, where in basketball you can transform a team pretty darn quickly? What is your plan, Fran?
I agree. And it's a hard question. It's a hard question to answer because you don't know exactly what the portal is going to bring. And there are already rumblings out there. Okay, Owen Freeman went for the surgical route because he's already decided he's not going to be there next year. You know, Owen Freeman's the only one that knows that. Is everyone going to stay? Probably not, because what? There's a handful of college programs that had everybody stay in the last couple of years. You and I, one of them 2 years ago, and they lost almost their entire roster this year. So there's going to be people leaving. There's going to be people coming. We have to accept that now in the world of new college basketball.
Scott, let's take an early break today based on our guest coming up, Rob Gray. He'll join us about 3:40 to talk about Iowa State's big game against BYU tonight. But first, an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard brought to you by Emil's Hideaway out on First Avenue East behind Johnson Fitness. Great classic local American restaurant, great food, great staff, great place to hang out, Emil's Hideaway. On the scoreboard today, former Iowa women's basketball coach Lisa Bluder will be an in-studio analyst during the Big Ten Network's coverage of the conference tournament. That tournament begins tomorrow. Iowa football added to its offensive staff with the hiring of former Wake Forest coordinator Warren Ruggiero. He will be an offensive analyst working with Tim Lester. 9-time All-Star Kyrie Irving will be lost to the Dallas Mavericks for the remainder of the NBA season. Irving suffered a torn ACL last night. The Eagles today made Saquon Barkley the NFL's highest-paid running back, giving him a 2-year contract extension worth $20.6 million per year. And finally, the New York Jets made a couple announcements today. The team released wide receiver Devontae Adams and gave former Iowa State star receiver Alan Lazard permission to seek a trade. More of the gym class after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. There's going to be widespread rain as we head through this afternoon and into the evening. Temperatures remain mild, around 50 degrees, and the mild air sticks with us as we head into tonight, with the rain persisting until we get into the early morning hours of Wednesday. Colder air gets pulled in, and there'll be a changeover to snow. Winds will begin to pick up. That will lead to low visibility and difficult travel for the morning commute. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Farming's hard. To feed the world, farmers have to work the land, brave the elements, and fight the battle against weeds. Weeds reduce crop yields, so prices go up and everybody gets less to eat. But 50 years ago, farmers got a new tool to fight weeds, glyphosate. It kills weeds while protecting the harvest. Time and again, it has been approved by the EPA and by leading regulatory bodies around the world. It helps enable practices that reduce erosion and keep soil healthy, which is good for the earth. Farming's hard, but it's a little easier with glyphosate. Learn more at go.bayer.com/glyphosate, paid for by Bayer.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance. What's your perfect hot tub experience? Pinnacle Spas will make it happen. During the grand opening sale now through March 8th, save thousands on luxurious Sundance spas, the best in relaxation, hydrotherapy, and backyard luxury. A hot tub isn't just a purchase, it's a lifestyle upgrade. And whether you're soothing sore muscles, reconnecting with family, or creating a personal escape, there's a perfect hot tub to transform your space and your everyday life. Visit Pinnacle Spas in Cedar Rapids, just off 380 at the Blairs Ferry Road exit, iowapinnacle.com.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Katie B. with the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling. Start the conversation today by text, live chat, or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
Welcome back to the Gym Class. 3:30, right on the button. Today, Mark Dukes, that is me, Isaac Elzinga in studio. Scott Younes also joining us today, having called Xavier's triumph at the Girls State Tournament en route back to do a boys' sub-state final game tonight. And, Scott, we've got some interesting comments on the text line, our previous conversation about Fran McCaffrey and Fran's comment today that he has no intention of moving on. I want to highlight 2757, who said this: Iowa women wrestling and football are all desirable jobs. Iowa men's hoops is not in the same level as the other three. Thoughts?
Right now, obviously, it's not where it was under Dr. Tom Davis, but this is still a desirable job. When you take a look at the Big Ten, it's one of the two, three best conferences in America. This job has proven to be lucrative over the years, and now starting to get some guys into the NBA. Is it Indiana? Is it Michigan State? Is it Purdue? No, but you could have a lot worse jobs, I think, anyway, than Iowa.
I think in the college basketball, men's college basketball landscape, it's not undesirable or anything, but if you were to compare it to the other Iowa programs listed as far as the Iowa women wrestling and football, it is probably fourth on the list of those, just because the excitement around the women, the sort of status of the wrestling team, I guess would be the best way of putting it, and the consistency of the football team, on top of obviously football rules all as far as college athletic goes. I think if you were to sort of tier those, that would be the fourth tier, or it's in a different tier than those other three.
Absolutely. And it can go up, though. I mean, that's my point. It can go back to where it was in the day. It's not going to take, as Mark said, basketball is the easiest to rebuild with. And it can get back there. It can be 15,000 people at Carver Hawkeye Arena. The students can come back again. It's just, it takes the right situation. Hey, winning cures all evil. If all of a sudden these incoming, if Fran stays, these incoming kids come in next year, a couple other portal guys a hit, who knows? This team could be right back toward the top of the Big Ten.
57-48. I don't think I've ever heard anyone say they like Fran as the head basketball coach. I just want to throw one thing out there for maybe Fran supporters. Iowa hasn't been to the Sweet 16. This is a familiar narrative for Fran haters that Iowa hasn't been to the Sweet 16 in his tenure. Well, Iowa hasn't been to the Sweet 16 in 25 years. 1999 was the last time. Tom Davis went to three.
Tom's last year.
Tom Davis went to three Sweet 16s. Not Steve Alford, not Todd Licklider, or Fran McCaffrey has been to the Sweet 16. And now it's a different conference.
Yeah, and there is one stat for people that are anti-Fran that they can plant their flag on the hill. And that is, and Fox showed this the other night in the Northwestern game, the last 5 years, the Big Ten record
And granted, the Big Ten has gotten bigger. We know that. But the last 5 years, Iowa's Big Ten record has progressively gone down. And to a point this year where they may miss the Big Ten tournament. So, I mean, that's what a lot of people are going to use to fuel the fire.
Matt, in Fairfax, when you underperform at coaching for a couple years in a row, it's okay to let someone go. It happens all the time. The program is stale. It's time to move on. I like it or not, I think that's the apathy we're talking about. It's stale. Iowa not competing for friends teams have, you know, I think his highest finish is third more than once in the Big Ten. But it's just kind of been middle of the road, make the NCAA tournament, maybe win a first round game, maybe not. And that's been it. So I get that, Matt.
Yeah.
On a positive note, Scott, before we bring in Rob Gray in just a couple minutes to talk about Iowa State and its big game tonight against BYU, all conference teams out. It's that time of year. I was well represented, I think, on the All Big Ten women's team. Lucy Olson, unanimous first team All Big Ten. Hannah Stolke from Cedar Rapids, second team by media. Sydney Affolter, honorable mention. Not surprisingly, Juju Watkins, the player of the year in the league. I question her being on the all defensive team, but that's just me. In Ames, Audie Crooks, who you've seen a lot of, Scott, high school and otherwise. She was a unanimous first team all league pick for the Cyclones. Addie Brown, second team, and Emily Ryan, honorable mention. So great honors for both Iowa and Iowa State, I think.
Yeah, pretty cool. And we haven't even got to the Missouri Valley yet, where Maya McDermott probably, well, Katie Dinnebier and Maya McDermott are going to be the top two as far as the MVPs are concerned. So take a bow, state of Iowa. I think we've done pretty well on the women's side, and got a chance to talk yesterday for about 10 minutes with Jan Jensen at the state tournament, not to be name dropping or anything like that.
Whoever does that.
Nobody does it. We were going to try to get, she said she's going to carve out some time for us next week in her busy schedule.
Excellent. Look forward to that.
She was down yesterday to watch Journey Houston.
Coming back, coming off the Big Ten women's tournament this week. So that'll be interesting leading up to the NCAA tournament. So more texts on the Fran McCaffrey situation, which is, there really is no situation other than Fran saying he wants to stay. So thank you for those texts. But again, we're going to talk to Rob Gray coming up here in a very short time. Scott alluded to programming changes because of the Missouri Valley Conference Men's Tournament, at which Kevin Lehman will be calling games starting Thursday, I think. Thursday? Yeah, something like that. But he's going to move to tomorrow. And Mark Ironside will be with us on Thursday previewing the Big Ten wrestling tournament. Sorry, you're not going to be involved in that, Isaac, because I know – wrestling's your thing, man, in addition to soccer.
Yeah, it's all right. I will be tuning in nonetheless. I may even shoot you guys a couple of texts, something like that. I know Andrew will be here, and I have full confidence he'll run the board just fine. Also of note, Spencer is going to be out today, so no Spencer on Sports from 4 to 6. So next time you'll hear local shows will be Todd Brommelkamp Show, 6:30 to 9 tomorrow.
Sounds great.
Okay. Hey, guys, before we get to a break here, I should give my testimonial for the Tama Quickstar, right?
Please.
All right, we're ready to go. By the way, Isaac, let Vicky know that Kevin Lehman and Mark Ironside are trading places. Would you do that for me, please?
Yes, I will.
Okay, little housekeeping right there. All right, before we get to a break, before we get to a Rob and talk Iowa State BYU, which is huge tonight, a lot of people talking about that in Central Iowa. I will say, Scott Unash here, not for your neighborhood Quickstar. You can go to your neighborhood Quickstar. I am at the Tama, Iowa Quickstar right now. And salute to those folks because they made a spicy chicken sandwich that hit the absolute spot for this guy on the way home. It had some pepper jack cheese on it, threw a couple of pickles on there. Threw a little mayonnaise on there. I know, don't text the show about mayonnaise, but that's what I like on my chicken sandwich. So food's here, and food was there when I needed it at my neighborhood Quick Star, which was in Tama, Iowa today. So I will consider that my elongated neighborhood. And while you're at your neighborhood Quick Star, stop on by, pick up some Quickery buns. They're 99 cents for the 8-count packages, limit 4. And also pick up Nature's Touch milk, 1 gallon, all of the flavors, if you will, 1%, 2% skim, etc. $2.99, limit 3. And big thanks to the fine, friendly folks at the Tama Quick Star.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Quick Star. And if it's Duke's mayo, it's all good.
I don't know what kind of mayo it was, to be honest with you.
All right, back in a minute. Talk with Rob Gray, Cyclone Fanatic and the Gazette.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim at kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer. Empower!
Nick bought a new guitar, a 62 American Classic Electric. Does he know how to play? No. But Nick's Empower investment account has performed well. He got good at money, so he can be a little bad. Empower. Invest well. Live a little. Start today at empower.com.
Past performance is not indicative of future returns. Investing involves risk. You may lose money. Advisory services are provided for a fee by Empower Advisory Group, LLC, EAG, a registered investment advisor with the Securities and Exchange Commission. This is a really, really, really good guitar solo.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Back on the gym class, 3:42. Still trying to hook up with Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic. I know he is at a news conference, Scott, and Isaac is still efforting him right now. In the meantime, Gene and Vinton wanted to ask you a question, and the question is, what did you think about Journey Houston at the state tournament, and bring folks up to date about who she is?
Yeah, Journey Houston is a Davenport North player who signed with Iowa. She had a knee injury coming off of that last year, and I think she's going to end. She's an athlete. She's going to end up helping Iowa. She can run up and down the court. Kind of a little bit shorter type Hannah Stolke player. Not going to be able to go inside, that's for sure. Probably needs to work on the shot a little bit. There's talk perhaps maybe redshirting a little bit. I've heard that rumor going around, but good player and a very high ceiling. She and Divine Burridge, who's going to LSU, they were both the stars of Davenport North, and didn't have a ton of other players, a couple of decent players, but I just ran into a buzzsaw yesterday against Dowling, and I think she's going to end up being okay at Iowa. So I think Gene and the rest of the folks, give her a little bit of time, and I think she's going to help the program.
Excellent. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Gene, for the question. And we do have Rob Gray with us of the Gazette, Cyclone Fanatic. Rob, time a little shorter than usual, but appreciate you coming on, and a big game tonight against BYU, and it's senior night. So Much anticipated night, huh?
Very much. Always good to join you guys. I was actually getting pretty Big 12 wrestling interviews locked in on a day, which we had women's basketball interviews earlier. So, and then on to 8 p.m., Iowa State BYU, BYU team that's hotter than anyone else in the Big 12 on a six-game win streak. And as you mentioned, a lot of seniors to send off who've made significant contributions. Keyshawn Gilbert, probably Curtis Jones, even though they have the JUCO exception rule, he probably doesn't fit in that. Grant Chatfield's made a big mark in his one season as a backup big. And on down the line, I mean, a bunch of guys who've made big contributions, and obviously they want to go out with a second top 25 win in a row and build that momentum potentially to try to get back to securing a two seed maybe in the NCAA tournament.
Well, you hit it right on the head, Rob. This thing is huge tonight because it could mean a double bye. I mean, it's not set in stone even if Iowa State wins, but then you talked about the number two seed that a lot of the bracketologists have. Iowa State wins that on senior night. They keep that. If not, it could go to a three, even though there's a lot of basketball left. But this is a huge game tonight.
No, absolutely. And I mean, BYU is so scary offensively. I mean, Richie Saunders, just a great talent, shooting 44% from three. He can go off at any time. They've got guys, you know, Traore. I mean, they don't have a ton of size, but they've got size sometimes handling the basketball, too. I mean, just a really unique team, a team that can struggle defensively at times, can struggle to take care of the basketball at times. And that's, I think, what Iowa State really needs to do. You saw that a little bit against Arizona, then getting back to not necessarily forcing a ton of live ball turnovers, but they forced 14, I think, in that game while having their own issues, which have been ongoing and we can talk about if needed in terms of ball security. But I think there's opportunity there. And they came out and they were the aggressor. They were as T.J. Otzelberger always says, imposing their will against the Wildcats. And took a while to get going, but then, you know, went into blowout mode. Arizona had a little bit of a comeback, but you beat that team by 17. Sets up nicely for this. And, yes, the double bye is huge. I mean, not to have to play an extra game in Kansas City. You win this game, barring some really strange happenings. I think maybe Arizona would have to fall into a three-way tie, and then there'd be a different sort of tiebreaker beyond head-to-head. This should sew it up in advance of a game at Kansas State, which is never a gimme, even though the Wildcats are back in the tank after rising out of it for a month and a half. So, yeah, huge game, obviously emotional night. And I looked on Heisey and Deshaun Jackson, but they have a year of eligibility left. And the CEO, Conrad Holly, he's a senior, he can't come back. But definitely an emotional night. And as you said, just a huge game in terms of seeding implications, both in Kansas City and beyond.
Yeah, you would think on any senior night, a team would get a jolt, and perhaps Iowa State will get that tonight with guys like Gilbert and Jones and et al. Taking a bow. And maybe not surprisingly, they're all transfers. It's kind of the way of the world nowadays, Rob.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at how TJ inheriting a 2-22 program that went winless in Big 12 play in Steve Prohm's last year. The only way to rebuild the team was, A, find guys that you can get to buy in. So it's this, frankly, kind of a ragtag bunch. You know, your Jazz Koontzes and Gabe Kalschers and, you know, guys just trying to find their way. You know, Isaiah Brockington, you know, he'd shown flashes at Penn State, but man, he was a one-season sensation at Iowa State as a scorer, rebounder, and everything. And lo and behold, they go to the Sweet 16. I mean, you know, without a huge amount of talent, you know, had to hang their hat on defense and hope they'd get enough offense to win, and they did when it mattered the most in the NCAA tournament. Again, a tournament they needed to win a bunch of games late in the regular season just to get into. So, yeah, it's kind of how I had to build it. Obviously, Fred Hoiberg was kind of a trendsetter in his era at Iowa State as head coach, you know, getting a lot of transfers. And now, of course, yeah, it's the way of the world. You got NIL thrown in. It's kind of how the way it's going to be as teams seek to be as experienced and quote-unquote old as they can. Those are the teams that tend to make deep runs in March.
Rob, do you see that happening again? I know Iowa State is signs a really good class. I know that, but it's the way of the world. Like Mark said, you got to go out and find some guys, two or three guys, kind of to supplement where you're going to need them at whatever position it might be. And I see TJ doing that again.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You have to. And if the freshmen are good enough, they play right away. And if they're not, they don't like it, then they transfer. Or they sit another year and they keep going at it. I mean, Noyes Indersitis was a pretty highly touted recruit. They tried him in the rotation. Hasn't quite worked out. I mean, he's not quite ready for the moment yet, but it's incredibly skilled and talented, tough, European transplant. So you got to do it. I mean, you look at the way they reloaded after, leaders in the front court like Trey King and, of course, Robert Jones, how much that guy progressed from year one, speaking of ragtag start for that first TJ team. And, you reload with more skill with Joshua Jefferson and more power even in Deshaun Jackson. Hasn't been as great lately, but, he's certainly been a force all season. And Brand Chatfield, the way he goes after offensive board, he's kind of like a hybrid Robert Jones. And I don't know who else, he and his staff have done a remarkable job identifying, A, guys who fit, and B, guys who will buy in to those daily habits that he talks about ad nauseum, but he puts every bit of stock into. And if a guy doesn't, and he's not going to play. And if a guy doesn't, he'll probably be encouraged to transfer too. So, I mean, they've been pretty good judges of who's right for the program for sure.
Watched a little of Houston and Kansas last night. And although Kansas has lost 9 conference games, still a capable team on any given night. But I look at what's ahead in the Big 12 Conference Tournament, certainly a big game tonight. Don't want to discount that, but with Houston and Texas Tech and Iowa State and Arizona and maybe BYU, maybe Kansas, maybe somebody like Baylor or TCU beyond that, I don't know, but it's going to be a war.
Yeah, I mean, there's enough talent on all those rosters you mentioned and then some. West Virginia slid down, but, I mean, they've got – a great scorer, and they've got put together an okay resume. I mean, there are going to be some upsets in Kansas City, and whether that comes on a Wednesday or a Thursday, or whether it comes on Friday, Saturday, we'll see. But I mean, early in the season when Iowa State was fully healthy, it looked like it was a pretty clear 1A, 1B, Houston, Iowa State, and then you've got at the time you're probably thinking Kansas. And not even Arizona at the time, given how much he struggled in the non-conference. And then they, of course, came out, played great early on, still playing great, Tommy Lloyd's team. But, it looks like Texas Tech is playing as well as anybody, too. And they're fully healthy as well. So, I mean, it's going to be a grind, as it always is in Kansas City. And, I mean, the important thing for teams like Iowa State is you take care of this game, your resume is somewhat set in stone. I mean, if you go and play a pretty good team on Thursday, assuming you get the double bye and lose that game, it's not going to set you back. Or I would be very surprised if it did. So, again, the implications from this one are not only big for next week, but huge for the weeks to come, potential weeks to come.
Last one for me, Rob, for the women, big win against Kansas State on senior day. To me, that probably got them into the tournament. You never know with how things play out, but I think they're on the right side of the bubble now, and no matter what happens in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if that didn't get them in. I mean, they were 0-9 in quad one wins, but they'd beaten every single team other than you and I, which is a whole different animal when you're playing that interstate rivalry in women's basketball in this state. Family thought they should have been in before. Of course, he's a little bit biased. But to beat a team that good, and yes, they lost Ayoko Lee early in the season, one of the best players in the country. They fit in the top 3, 4, 5 team. Still a true top 15 team. And to beat them by 22, that made a statement, I think. And Audie Crook said as much today. And I'd be shocked if they were left out of the field. Now, ironically enough, if they – peek into a play-in game, how many times have we seen teams get hot on the men's side having to do that versus being an 8 or 9, the dreaded 8 or 9? But I mean, they'll take what they can get given some of the circumstances throughout the season, some of the cold streaks. They're playing their best basketball this season, and that's all you could ask for from an Iowa State perspective.
Last from me, Rob, we've got the game tonight, KGYM, 7 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock tip with Iowa State and BYU. For you, what are the keys to the game?
Yeah, I think the key is Iowa State's defense and enforcing turnovers. Presumably they're going to try to run guys off the three-point line, given how well BYU can shoot it, not just Saunders, but some guys off the bench. But they're skilled taking it to the basket, too. They can make them uncomfortable, which is their plan, their goal, their expectation. You know, make them really struggle to get into their offense. Could force a lot of issues. Either that makes defensive rebound really important because that's what feeds the transition. I think it's forced great on-ball defense, forcing turnovers, and getting out in transition to get a lot of points that way. That gets Keyshawn Gilbert going. That gets Milan Opsilovic transition threes, which were big recently as well. I think those are the two main keys for Iowa State tonight.
He's Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic and the Gazette. Rob, thanks for joining us. As always, we'll talk to you soon, huh?
Yeah, always great to talk to you guys. Take care.
Rob Gray, Scott, with some insights about tonight's Iowa State BYU game. And right now, it's all laid out there. Iowa State and BYU tied for fourth in the league.
Pretty simple. You don't need to be a mathematician to figure out if the top four get double byes. Iowa State wins this one. They're pretty good for the top four. So a lot on the line. Can I give a weather report from Tama?
Yes, indeed.
The wind is coming. It has picked up in about the last 20 minutes by about 20 miles per hour.
Well, we want to get you on the road. We're going to feel that in eastern Iowa. I don't know that there's going to be a lot of snow. We'll keep you updated right here on KGYM, but I hope you have safe travels back to town. And what do you got tonight coming up tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll do Kennedy and Davenport North tonight, and then tomorrow, hopefully, get back there and do Springville and North Lynn, and then Thursday it'll be Mount Vernon and Xavier now, and then Friday, who knows? So my tentative plan, Mark, is to join you at the start. The first game, the Mount Vernon game, should be done at around a little before 3, and I can hang with you until Mark Ironside gets in studio. How's that?
We'll play it by ear like we are this week. Right, Isaac?
Yes, indeed. It should be, again, Andrew will be here. I have full confidence in Andrew. He's good at his job.
Oh, I know Andrew will do fine.
Again, Thursday, Mark Ironside will be with us. Tomorrow, Kevin Lehman joining us with the Off the Glass segment. Really anxious to talk to Kevin about the, I know you won't be with us, Scott, but anxious about that Missouri Valley Conference tournament, which should be great.
Should be great. UNI. I'm hoping for a UNI Drake final.
All right, Scott, time for you to get on the road and have a good call tonight. Again, tomorrow we will talk soon.
Probably Thursday, fingers crossed. Thanks, guys.
Sounds great. Scott Unash from Quickstar in Tama. That was great.
Yeah, I thought it sounded great. I was worried about the connection, but ended up working well.
All right, Isaac, wrap it up. Thanks to you and to our listeners. Thanks to Rob Gray for weighing in. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on the Gym Class.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra.